discuss a little bit about this Shvi Shel Pesach, the seventh day of Passover, which is coming up this Shabbos. It's Friday night Shabbos. So we know what happened on the first days of Passover. That's the story of the Exodus from Egypt. The Jews, you had the 10th plague, the killing of the firstborn, and then Paro said, you know, let the Jews go, and we left Egypt. However, they came after. We weren't safe. We weren't totally safe yet. They came running after us. And on the seventh day, we have the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea, of Kriyas Yamsuf, that they came running after us. And contrary to popular belief, it's not that the sea split and then we walked through dry land. Tradition has it that one of the Jewish leaders, Nachshon ben Aminadav, he was the leading prince going into the water, went up to his ankles, his knees, his waist, until it finally went to his face. That's when the miracle happened, that God was waiting for it to come from us, because that was the difference. That in Egypt, in other words, what we know, the Shabbos before Passover is called the Great Shabbos. What the Shabbos Hagadol. So in Europe, the rabbi only spoke twice a year. The Shabbos before Yom Kippur and the Shabbos before Passover. You know, in North America, the rabbi speaks every week, but therefore it's called, the rabbi gave a long sermon on the Shabbos before. But why is it called the Great Sabbath? Because the Jews were living in Egypt, and the Egyptians, their gods were the sheep, the lamb. That's who they used to worship as their god, like in India, whatever, wherever it is. Yeah. So up until now, basically, God was doing everything, and the Jews were like innocent bystanders, just watching all the events. But they weren't actively involved, they were just watching. And it was just Moses and God. And then finally, God said, you know what? I want every Jew to have to be involved in the Paschal Lamb. I want them to go ahead and go to the Egyptians and tell them you need some lambs and you're going to go slaughter them. So imagine you tell the enemy, like, you know what, we're going to kill your God. Imagine, like, the danger, the risk they were taking. And the miracle happened that even though the Jews were taking all the gods of the Egyptians, so to speak, nothing happened to them. They went ahead and they took it. So it's the Shabbos HaGadol. That's the day the miracle happened. But even more than that, the two words for like big, for high in Hebrew, there's the word gadol, but there's the word ram, ramah resh mem. It also means high. So what's the difference when we use the word ram high versus the word gadol high? The difference is ram is from heaven to earth. God comes down from heaven and he comes down to earth. When I say someone is 5'3", 6'2", what we're saying is from the ground up, that's how high they are. So up until now, everything's been coming from the heaven. God's doing everything for us. We weren't involved at all. But it's Shabbos HaGadol. It's the day we became Gedolim. We became Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah. We finally took on responsibility. We actively went ahead and took the lamb, and we went ahead and we were bringing it, preparing it for the Paschal lamb. So that's what the word Gadol means. It came from us. Up until now, it's all been God, and now we started to get involved. And that's the culmination at the splitting of the Red Sea, that it all came from us. God did not do the miracle until we ourselves walked into the water and went ahead and the water split. So that's why, in fact, in the Haggadah, when we read the other night, so it talks about, they say the miracles that happened at the Red Sea were greater than the miracles that happened in Egypt. So they talk about how much greater, whether it was like there were only 10 plagues in Egypt. Some say there were about 50 things that happened on the Red Sea. Others say there were 200, 250. In other words, everyone agrees the miracles that happened at the Red Sea were greater than those that happened in Egypt. And the question is why? So one of the answers given is because God helps those who help themselves. That up until now, it's been all God, us, nothing. We're just watching and benefiting. But, you know, when you become that's the difference between a minor, someone who's a child, and someone who becomes an adult. When you're an adult, comes responsibility, and you take on actions, whether it's when a woman 12, a man 13, and when a person gets married, the more involved in the community, you get older, you start getting involved and like everything, it comes with different responsibilities. And therefore, at the splitting of the Red Sea, we had much more involvement. And therefore, as always, God helped those who help themselves. The more we do, the more we're going to get out of it. Easy come, easy go. If a person just takes a handout, they're not going to appreciate it. The one who works for a living and works hard, they appreciate the value of a good meal, the value of money. But if you never worked a day in your life and you just had, you know, handouts, you're never going to appreciate the value of hard work. So up until now, the Jews got everything. It was all a gift from Moses and God. And, you know, they started tasting it a little bit on Shabbos Haggadah. Okay, start doing a little bit. But the ultimate was they finally did everything on their own on the splitting of the Red Sea. That's why the Red Sea is known as the greatest of all miracles, not the greatest in terms of supernatural powers. There might have been greater miracles. But the greatest is it came from us. When it comes from us, and we're personally involved, whether in spiritual matters, physical matters, we all know the more we're involved, as the Talmud tells us, when even though we might like people cooking for us, I'm sure everyone likes a break, but we have a principle, something you make tastes better than something someone else makes. What does that mean? It's not just a hocus pocus. It's because if you worked hard on something, then you feel part of it. You feel you feel more connected to your own food. And therefore, when you make something, so it seems to taste better, you know, generally speaking. Obviously, we're not talking about someone who burns something, or you're talking about an expert chef, and everyone likes to go out once in a while. But when you're actually involved in something, the rule of thumb is we always get more out of it when we're more involved than we are when we're just sitting back and being passive and bystanders. And that's why that was the great miracle of the splitting of the sea, is that we were personally involved. And a second aspect also true about why it was so great is because what happened after the miracle? So what does the verse say? The verse says, what happened? We read it every day in prayers. I'll say it in Hebrew, then I'll explain it in English. Vayaminu v'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. After the miracle of the Red Sea, they believed in God and Moses, his servant. And then they started singing Oz Yoshia. They started singing the praise of God. So the parting of the Red Sea became the prototype of all miracles, not because of its supernatural qualities, but it had a greater impact on Jewish faith than other miracles did. In other words, we're saying the importance of a miracle isn't measured by how many supernatural qualities there are, but we judge a miracle by the association to the divine. The closer you come to God after a miracle, the greater the miracle. Because when it came to the 10 plagues, they could all be explained in some scientific way. In fact, I remember it must have been 20, 30 years ago, there was a Reader's Digest article, and it gave a whole scientific explanation about the 10 plagues. And it wasn't from God. Moses knew. He was very smart. He was a scientist. I don't remember all the... A volcano erupted. He knew this caused the frogs to come out. You know, a whole long scientific... As we say, if a person doesn't want to believe, it doesn't make a difference what happens. And if a person wants to believe, so they gave science, and many people gave scientific reasons for the 10 plagues, you know. And God always makes it. The way it works in life is God balances the playing field. In other words, if a righteous person can do a miracle, then we have to let a wicked person do a miracle, because we always want... The greatness of human beings are free choice. If we didn't have free choice to choose good over evil, then what's the point? We're no different than robots. We're no different than angels. Angels don't have any option. Whatever God tells them, they do. You do a robot setup. The computer doesn't control. We control the computer. I mean, we tell the computer where to go. So in terms of So in terms of the greatness of human beings is the ability to choose. In other words, like an angel is known as, it's referred to someone standing. In other words, there's no growth. You can't go lower, you can't go higher. But a human being is known as someone, a mover. You can move in the right direction or the wrong direction, but it's always up to us. God gives us free choice. So when it comes to... So therefore, when he does a miracle, so it says, you know what the miracle was? During God split the Red Sea into 12 different sections. Each tribe traveled in a different section. So what was the counter miracle? The Torah says he had a strong wind come at the time. So you ask, but a strong wind versus the sea splitting into 12 different directions? That's not fair. But the answer is, if you're looking not to believe, that's enough. If you're looking, if someone who's not going to, someone who already made his decision before, a volcano came, that's why the 10 plagues came. We can always attribute it, as we all know in our own life, you know, when if you're looking to attribute something to something else, then that's it. There's some people, many people, make up their mind before the events or not. Well, this person's guilty. Without the trial, some people are ready. I'm not getting into, clearly it was reprehensible what the police officer did to the person, Floyd. I'm not justifying anything what he did. And based on the video, it looks terrible. But to many people, the guilty verdict's in before the case. They want to try him and execute him before they even give him a chance to, support the case. And there are others who say he's not guilty no matter what. I mean, those people already made their decisions. But people who believe in due justice, so we might have our own, based on what we see, we might have some idea, but we have to let the evidence, if you don't have a court, if you don't take things to court, then people are just going to judge right away. And that's how you have hangings, killings, it gets out of hand. So if you're looking for an excuse, a strong wind is enough. But because that's enough if you don't want to believe. So God always tries to balance the playing field. So therefore, the greatness of the splitting of the sea is the association with the divine. And there are many, by other miracles, God did other great miracles, but we don't find this reaction. You know why splitting of the sea is known as the prototype? Because the Jews believed afterwards. In fact, with the great prophet Eliyahu, we know him well. He came to visit us the other night, like to every Seder. We didn't necessarily see him or talk to him, but metaphysically, at least, he was there. So when he was at Har Carmel, there's a story in the Navi that the Jewish people were schizophrenic, let's say. During the morning, they were worshiping God. During the afternoon, they were worshiping idols. So Eliyahu said, we can't have it this way. You got to choose. You got to choose which God is it going to be. So we're going to have a contest. We're going to bring sacrifices to our God. They're going to bring sacrifices to their God. And whichever one the fire comes down, we know who the real God is. That was so when Eliyahu was praying, he said, Anenu Hashem, Anenu, God, answer me, God, answer me. Why was he like repeating the words, answer me? I mean, God could hear the first time. Why was he repeating it? So the comment is explained because, no, answer me, God, that the fire is going to come down. But Eliyahu knew very well, people could see miracles, and they don't change one iota. You move on in your life. But God, answer me that they'll also believe in you. Not only will it be that the miracle will happen, but they'll actually realize that it came from you. That's the double Aneni Hashem. So many times in life, and that's what we see, our generation has witnessed great victories, even miraculous ones. We the War of Independence in 1948, the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, and since then, many Scud missiles, many attacks. And yet we're seeing today Jews returning to their homeland after thousands of years of exile. And we rejoice that Jerusalem, our holy city, is united again. But these wondrous events can only be considered miraculous if we recognize that they come from God. It's not just, you know, that Israel does have a good army, but we know without God, the army, it wouldn't be enough. As the rabbis, when they were discussing in the Talmud, so we know the Jewish people are known as the sheep, and the 70 anti-Semitic nations are known as the 70 wolves. So it's 70 wolves attacking one sheep. It doesn't seem like it's a fair matchup. So one rabbi said to the other, look how great the sheep is. Look how great the Jewish people are. Well, imagine surviving all these years with 70 wolves trying to attack. And the other rabbi said, you got it all wrong. It's not the sheep that's amazing, but it's the shepherd that takes care of the sheep. The sheep would be dead if it wasn't for the shepherd. If you have 70 wolves attacking a sheep, based on the laws of nature, the sheep wouldn't be alive anymore. It's only because of the shepherd that knows how to maneuver the sheep. As Mark Twain used to always say, what's the greatest proof of God? The fact this tiny little nation, the Jews, are still around. Many other great nations, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and they look at them now, they're nobody. But this tiny Jewish nation, which is a iota, tiny, tiny portion of the population, and somehow they're still around today, what greater proof that it is a God? Because how else could the Jewish people survive all these years with the 70 wolves, you know, attacking them all the time? And that's why the splitting of the sea. So on one hand, it's we say it's a great miracle. It's the prototype of all miracles. We said number one because it was our involvement that made it. Many other miracles, we stand around and do nothing. They don't last. But when we're involved, if we put our effort into it, easy come, easy go. The more we do, the more we benefit. And secondly, as well, it's not just the supernatural quality, but it's the association with the divine. The reason why the Red Sea is the great miracle is because we appreciated God. The reason why 1948, 67, the reason why the State of Israel is great, the Jewish nation, so we recognize we do have a great army. But without the shepherd, we would be nowhere today. And one last lesson to learn, that what are we even reading about the miracle of the Red Sea on the night of Passover? Like, it didn't happen the night of Passover, it happened 7 days later. What's the greatness as well of the miracle of the Red Sea? Why did we need it? So the commentators explain as follows, because the difference is, when it came to the 10 plagues, when the Egyptians were killed during the 10 plagues, what were the 10 plagues? When the Nile turned into the blood, when the water turned to blood, the frogs invaded, the vermin, the beast, the cattle disease, the boils, the hail, the locust, when he made it dark, and the slaying of the firstborn. So what did God do? When God punished the Egyptians through changing the laws of nature. In other words, all these things that they were punished, he did a miracle to change the laws of nature. In other words, so the miracle happened to punish the Jews. So from the miracle, we only saw that God punishes the Egyptian. It's not that, like, why should water, the fact that my water didn't turn into blood, the fact that that frogs didn't come into my home, that's natural. Why? I don't expect to be attacked by frogs and beasts so it didn't show. He did show that he was, all the night of Egypt showed is God punishes the wicked. And God goes out of his way, he breaks the law, but it doesn't show his love for us. Like, he didn't do anything for us. He left it to normal order. But it came to the miracle of the Red Sea, it was the opposite. That when he saved us, he split the Red Sea. And the Egyptians were punished normally. The water doesn't, it's a miracle for water to part. We don't expect to walk in the ocean. So true love for the Jewish people was only confirmed by the splitting of the Red Sea. By the night of Passover, all the miracle happened was to punish the Egyptians. All it showed was that God punishes evil. But how do I know he really loves us? That wasn't proven to the seventh night of Passover, where he did a miracle to save us, that we were about to walk in the water and drown. We had nowhere to go. The Egyptians were coming with all the weapons, and God showed his love for us by breaking the laws of nature to save us. And that's the major difference between the night of Passover and the seventh day of Passover. The night of Passover, all the miracles came as punishment, that God punished those who do evil, but didn't inherently show a love for us. But now, the seventh day of Passover, that showed the love of the Jewish people. He split the Red Sea and did a miracle. He broke the laws of nature in our favor, and that's why it's a prototype of all miracles, and that's why we say the greater miracles that happened in the splitting of the Red Sea were than the Makkah, either because that we were actively involved, the association with the divine, that's how he showed his love for us, by doing a supernatural miracle to save us, not just punishing the enemy. That's the greatness, and that's the culmination of the holiday of Pesach we're going to have in a couple of days. The last days of Pesach show not only is God a true judge and he punishes the wicked, but he shows he loves the Jewish people, and he continuously does miracles for us. The fact that we're still alive today, it's HaMachadish B'tuvo B'chol Yom. God performs miracles daily, and as we say, whether he does it through the natural means every day, we have the miracles of nature, that's the handmaiden of God. And once in a while, when he needs to, he breaks the laws of nature and does the miracles for the Jewish people. And that's the greatness of the Yontov, of the holiday of Pesach, which we'll enjoy the culmination the next couple of days of Pesach.